This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday for another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime. We'll hear first this week from This Is Your FBI and The Sinister Souvenir, their story from February 1st, 1946. After that, it's The New Adventures of Nero Wolf and The Phantom Fingers, his story from January 26th, 1951.
The Equitable Life Assurance Society presents This Is Your FBI. This Is Your FBI, an official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, presented as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. Before opening tonight's FBI file, let's consider the slogan, E Pluribus Unum, that appears on every United States coin. It means one from many. In other words, get together, stay united. A perfect example is the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States. In the Equitable Society, 3.25 million Americans have united for security, have pooled their dollars to give each individual member far more financial security than he could achieve by his own unaided efforts. These Equitable Society dollars are invested for the benefit of its members and to promote the industrial and financial health of the entire country, so that by serving its members, the Equitable Life Assurance Society serves America. Tonight's FBI file, The Sinister Souvenir.
All of you men who are now wearing discharge buttons in your lapels, here is a message from your FBI. It's about those souvenirs you brought back home with you. The shooting kind. You know, that rifle or pistol or Tommy gun. Well, already scores and scores of these weapons have figured in serious crimes committed by other persons who got possession of them. A little later, we'll tell you how you can keep your war trophy from becoming an instrument of crime. But first, listen to the recent case of one returning vet and the crime that came out of his gear bag. Most of the fellows kissed the good old USA's terra firma the minute they got off the boat. But not PFC Joe Williams. He saved his kiss until he came up out of the subway and planted it smack on Flatbush Avenue, Brooklyn. A little while later, he planted another kiss on the cheek of his sister.
Gosh, Joe. Hey. It's just so wonderful you're home.
Home. Yeah, I'm home, baby.
Oh, I'm so happy. I don't know what to say.
Well, I feel pretty good myself.
Just let me look at you again.
Okay.
I've got to stop this. Let's get organized. You sit right down over there and I'll go fix you something to eat.
Now, wait a minute. Food can wait. I've got some things to show you first.
You have what?
Presents, souvenirs, junk like that. I've got them right here in the bag.
But you must be hungry, though.
Hey, you just stay put. Here, now, take a look at this. That's for you.
Oh, Joe. Perfume.
Yeah, that's genuine French perfume. Don't smell bad either. Here, take a sniff.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Good, huh? And look, here's something for Eddie. One of those fancy Heidelberg Steins.
Oh, that's beautiful, Joe.
By the way, where is that husband of yours?
Well, he's still sleeping. I'll call him now and tell him that you're
here. No. Don't bother. Here, look, take a look at the rest of this junk.
All right.
Souvenirs. Here, look. This here's a Nazi flag.
It is?
Yeah. Here's some Heine medals. Take a look at this. There's an honest-to-goodness German Luger.
Oh, that's a nasty-looking thing.
Yeah, that's one of the sweetest automatics there is. I took it from the owner personally.
How?
Well, it's a long story.
Hey!
Oh, there's Eddie now. He's awake.
Hey, where did you put
Hi, Eddie.
Huh? Oh. Hello, Joe.
I was just going to call you, Eddie, and tell you that Joe was here, but I was so excited. Isn't this a wonderful surprise?
Yeah. Welcome home, kid.
Well, thanks,
Peg, where did you put my brown suit?
It's in the hall closet. Eddie, you talk to Joe for a minute now. I want to go out and fix something to eat.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Yeah. Well, you look good, kid.
Thanks, Eddie.
When'd you get here?
Oh, I just got in a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh. Hey, what's all this stuff?
Souvenirs, presents, junk, yeah. Oh, here's something for you, Eddie.
Oh, for me? Oh, damn, huh?
Mm-hmm. Right from Heidelberg.
Oh, thanks. Hey. Hey, what's with the gun?
Oh, that's a German Luger.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a good-looking job. Where'd you get it?
I took it off a guy.
Yeah. Look, you mind if I look at it?
No, go ahead.
Hey, this is okay. Joe.
Yeah?
Look, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but could I maybe work a swap with you?
Oh, what do you mean?
This Luger instead of the beer mug?
Oh,
I throw in a little cash on the side.
What do you want with a gun?
Just for a souvenir. What do you say?
I'm afraid not, Eddie.
Okay. Come on, let's go in and eat.
You, Eddie?
No, it's me, sis. Joe.
Well, did you visit all the neighbors?
Yeah, I saw a few of them.
Were they surprised?
Mm-hmm.
I purposely didn't tell any of them that you were home. I wanted them to
Peg,
be.
Peg, I,
Yeah?
I gotta talk to you.
What about?
Eddie.
Well?
Now, look, Peggy, I know this is none of my business, and if he wasn't married to you, I'd keep out of it, but what does the guy do?
You mean his job?
Yeah.
He's a salesman.
What does he sell?
Lots of things.
Well, I mean, what? What, for instance?
Well, now, why do you want to know this, Joe?
Well, for one thing, I was talking to some of the guys in the neighborhood today. From what they said, Eddie's mixed up with the wrong kind of people.
Oh.
You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I had another reason for asking, too. You know that Luger I brought home with me?
The gun?
Mm-hmm. Eddie wanted it. He said he'd swap me the beer mug for it and give me some cash besides.
Yeah, but you didn't give it to him.
No, but I looked in my gear bag this morning.
Yeah?
The Luger is gone.
Yes, the Luger is gone. But it is no longer a war trophy, a souvenir. It has gone to a darkened warehouse on the Brooklyn waterfront. There, in the hands of Joe's brother-in-law and a companion, the Luger has now become an instrument of crime.
How many more boxes?
This is the last of them here.
Okay, let's get them out of the truck.
Look, we've been here long enough.
This will only take a couple of more minutes. Come on.
Okay.
Easy now.
Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Listen.
Probably the watchman. Dutch, don't come quick. Told you we should have.
He's coming right at us. He's
going to
spot us.
No, he ain't. Let's blow.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes?
My name is Hope. This is Mr. Rogers. We're from the FBI.
Well, how do you do? The body of the watchman is in the main warehouse. Come with me, please.
Surely.
Any idea when the killing occurred?
Not more than 2 hours ago. That's the last time the watchman checked in.
I see.
When he missed making his last report, we investigated. After finding the body, we immediately called you.
Mm-hmm.
In here, please.
All right. Go ahead, Jack.
There he is, right over there. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go outside and wait for the coroner.
Surely, Mr. Forrest. Okay, Jack, let's have a look at him.
Okay.
Drilled him right through the head.
Yeah.
Well, we better start looking for where that bullet lodged. Now, let's see. He was standing right here at the entrance of this row of narcotic packing cases. The bullet entered low on the forehead. Came out high in the back of his head.
Hey, look, Larry, high up on that post there.
Where? Oh, looks like a fresh chip.
Yeah. Come on, give me a hand with this ladder.
Okay.
Over here. Now, that's good.
All right.
Now hold it steady and I'll go up.
Watch it. What'd you find, Jack?
What we're looking for, all right.
Good.
If I don't break my knife digging it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got it.
Okay, come on up. What's it look like?
It's not big enough for a .38. Doesn't look like a .32 either.
No. Well, let's not bother guessing. Let's see what other leads we can pick up and then get over to the lab.
Come in. Somebody here to see you, Eddie.
Who is it?
He says he's your brother-in-law.
What's he doing here? Tell him I'm busy.
Now, you can't be that busy, Eddie.
Okay, kid, come on in. Wait outside, don't you?
Okay.
What's on your mind?
Well, Peg asked me to come here to your office. She was worried when you didn't come home last night.
I was working.
All night?
Yeah, all night.
Doing what, Eddie?
What's that to you?
Well, it's nothing to me, but, well, Peg's my sister.
Now, let her ask the question.
Look, Eddie, I talked to some guys in the neighborhood, and they told me some things about you that didn't sound so good.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, that you were mixed up with the wrong kind of guys.
What is this? Are you trying to pin something on me?
No, I just want to find out if it's true.
Of course it ain't true. Someone's trying to knife me, that's all.
And there's one more thing.
Well?
That German Luger I brought home with me.
What about it?
You wanted it.
That's right.
I looked for it yesterday. It was gone.
Now, wait a minute. Are you trying to say I took that gun?
Eddie, all I know is it's gone.
Have you told all this to Peg?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That puts me in a terrible spot. Look, could you go on home? Tell Peg I'll be home for dinner. Then the three of us can sit down and straighten this out. Okay?
Any lab report on that bullet check yet, Larry?
No, but they ought to call any minute.
Looks like that's going to be our best clue.
Why, Jack? What about those fingerprints we got off the windowsill when the thieves came in?
They were the night watchmen's.
Well, that's that. Targeted. Hope speaking. Oh, it's the lab.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, all right. Uh-huh. Send over the complete report, will you, please? Thanks.
What's the verdict, Larry?
Caliber of that bullet was 7.65.
Millimeters.
That's right. It was fired from a German Luger.
Peg.
She isn't here, Eddie.
Huh. Oh. Hi, kid.
I say, Peg went out.
Well, didn't you tell her I was coming home for supper?
Yeah, I told her.
Where'd she go?
See the doctor.
Doc? What for?
Well, looks like you're going to become a father.
How good.
Eddie, have you seen today's paper?
Why?
There's a story in it about a holdup in a government warehouse.
Yeah?
The watchman in the warehouse was killed.
So what?
Well, let me read you something. Yeah. The bullet which killed the watchman was found lodged in a wooden support. The FBI laboratory positively identified it as having been fired from a German Luger.
What are you telling me for?
When I was in your office today, I saw some boxes, Eddie. Boxes with government stencils on them.
Look, what are you driving at?
I know now what happened to my Luger.
Oh, look.
You did that job, Eddie. You did it with my gun.
You're crazy.
Where's the gun?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Turn around.
Keep away from me.
Yeah, there's a bulge over your hip. I want to find out.
Here we are.
I was right.
Yeah, wise guy. This is your gun pointing right at you.
Let me have it, Eddie.
What?
I want that gun.
Keep away, kid.
I said I want that gun.
Okay. Oh. So long, sucker.
Tonight's FBI file on the sinister souvenir will reopen in just a moment. Meanwhile, perhaps you'll be surprised, as I was, to learn that there is more than one kind of security. This week, at the Equitable Society, I got a brand new slant on the subject of security from Thomas I. Parkinson, president of the Society. Did it ever occur to you, Mr. Parkinson said to me, that there's such a thing as having too much security? Well, how could that be, I asked. Well, Mr. Parkinson said, a convict in jail serving a life sentence has perfect security. His clothes, food, and shelter are assured for the rest of his life. But who wants that kind of security bought at the price of freedom? Of course, that's an extreme case, President Parkinson went on, but don't forget that the oldest trick of all dictatorial governments, from Julius Caesar to Adolf Hitler, was to promise the people bread and circuses and security, and then take away their liberties. Mr. Parkinson paused for a moment, and when he continued, there was a note of deep conviction in his voice as he said, that's one reason why all of us in the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States are glad that Americans believe in life insurance. Equitable Society members do not pay for their security with lost freedom. Life insurance security is the result of individual thrift and forethought, of initiative and self-reliance. And a man with life insurance is pretty sure to turn a deaf ear to the glib promises of demagogues and agitators. Yes, we're proud to say that this week, and every week for 86 years, the Equitable Society has been building security, the right kind of security, for you, your home, and your country. And now back to the FBI file on the sinister souvenir.
Of course, no returning veteran expects that the pistol or Tommy gun or other lethal weapon which he brings home as a war trophy shall ever become an instrument of crime. Joe Williams certainly didn't expect that to happen to his German Luger automatic. But two nights after he got home, one man had been murdered with it, and next day he himself was shot with it. A few minutes after the brutal shooting of Joe Williams, his sister returned to the apartment. Finding him on the floor, she called the doctor, then worked feverishly to bring him back to consciousness.
Here, darling, drink this water.
Thanks.
Now, don't move, Joe. I'll lift your head.
Okay.
That's fine. That's fine, darling. I've bandaged the wound and checked the bleeding. The doctor will be right over. Joe, what happened?
It was an accident. I shot myself.
That's not true.
Honest, Peg.
Yeah, then where's the gun?
Well, it's...
Look, I've got a pretty good idea of what really happened. Eddie did this to you.
No, Peg.
Joe, I saw him run out of the building here as I was coming down the street. I called out to him, and he just kept right on going. Now, you tell me the truth, Joe.
Okay. It was Eddie.
Why'd he do it? Why?
He did take my gun. He used it in a holdup. He killed a man.
Oh.
I tried to take the gun back. He shot me with it.
Oh.
I'm sorry, sis.
Joe... Joe, we got to call the police.
No, don't.
Joe, he killed a man.
He's gone. He won't be back. Look, you're going to keep out of this.
What about the doctor? He's going to know that something was wrong.
Yeah, we'll tell him it was an accident. Look, sis, you're going to have a baby. Let's do this for the kid, huh?
Right number, Jack?
Yep.
Yeah?
Good afternoon. We're special agents of the FBI.
The FBI?
Yes. We learned about your brother's accident. May we come in and talk to him?
Well, yes, I guess so.
Thank you. Go ahead, Jack.
All right.
This way, please.
Thanks.
Who's the company, sis?
These men are special agents of the FBI, Joe.
What do you want?
Well, Joe, we thought you might be interested in something we found out about the bullet that the doctor dug out of your shoulder.
How did you know about it?
Well, doctors have to report these cases to the police, you know. That's how we got hold of the bullet.
Well, what about it?
Well, under our microscopes in the laboratory, it exactly matches the one that killed the night watchman last night.
We'd like to see your German Luger, Joe.
I haven't got it.
We know you didn't kill the night watchman.
I haven't got the gun, see.
Did your husband take it with him, Mrs. Oakland?
You know.
Yes. We've checked everybody in your house since we found out about the bullet.
Sis didn't know the truth about Eddie.
We're sure of that.
You see, she wanted to spill everything right away, but I kept her from it on account of...
Yes, we even know about the baby, too. What we want to know now is, where is Eddie Oakland?
I wish we could tell you.
We need a good description of him. The police knew him, of course, but nobody has a photo of him.
I can furnish that.
Oh, good. Jack.
Yeah?
I'll stay here and get a full interview on everything. You go back to the office, get out an alarm on Oakland. I'll meet you there.
Right.
How have you been doing, Jack?
No results from the alarm yet. How did you make out?
Very well.
What did you get?
Oakland's wife told me about an office he had. I went over to the place, found some of the goods stolen from the warehouse.
Well.
I also found a man there. I've had him booked as a suspect.
Could he tell you where Oakland was?
No, but he's being questioned now.
I've put out an alarm on his car.
Oh, you'll probably stay out of that. It's too hot. I'll get it. Holt speaking. Oh, hello, Howard. What? Yes, wonderful. Good work. We'll get on it pronto. Thanks.
Got something?
Oakland's on the Commodore, headed for Chicago.
Really?
At least Howard turned up a ticket seller who sold Oakland's space on it.
Which section?
The second. Let's see. It's midnight now. Train hasn't gotten to Buffalo yet. Let's get the Buffalo office on the phone.
Get you anything else, Joe?
No, thanks.
But you didn't eat a thing.
I wasn't hungry.
Now, you know, the doctor said you've got to eat.
I know what the doctor said. Look, sis, I'm getting out of bed tomorrow.
Joe.
I don't want you waiting on me like
now,
this.
No, Joe, I don't...
I've caused you enough trouble.
What are you talking about?
Well, if I hadn't brought that stinking gun into this house...
That gun's got no bearing on what Eddie did.
Well, it was my pistol that killed that watchman.
Eddie killed the watchman. Oh, if I could only get my hands on him, I'd...
Do what, Peg? But... Tell me, what would you do? Why, you'd
take it easy.
Eddie, why did
you... Shut up and listen. I come back here for a couple of days until the heat cools off, then I'll be on my way again.
No, you can't stay here.
Well, this is the safest place for me to be. I'm supposed to be on my way to Chicago. Can I help it if I'm smart?
You're so smart, you've got the whole FBI looking for you.
That's why I come back. The FBI will never think of looking for me here until after I'm gone. That is, unless one of you tries to tell him something. In which case, there's plenty of bullets left in this Luger.
Tell him where he can go, sis.
Fix me something to eat, Peg, and some hot jabs.
I said tell him where
Shut
he can
up
go.
Shut up, before I...
Eddie, don't. I'll get you something to eat.
Swell. Oh, and look. Nobody's leaving this house until after I do. Understand?
Larry, the Commodore left Buffalo 30 minutes ago. We ought to hear something.
Well, maybe it was late.
Maybe so, but...
Hob speaking. Yes. Oh, it's Buffalo now.
Good.
Hello, yes. What? Yeah, I see. Pull the old gag, huh? Well, thanks anyway. So long.
What happened?
The man riding in Oakland's space wasn't Oakland. Pulled the old trick, booked space, then turned it over to a hotel porter to sell to somebody else.
Oakland's trying to be foxy, huh?
Well, Jack, there's another part that usually goes with that particular piece of foxiness.
What do you mean?
Come on. I believe I'll get to show you what I mean.
Tasted good.
I hope it chokes you.
Thanks. Any more jab of that, Peg?
Yeah.
Pour me some.
Let him pour his own.
I didn't do a very good job on you, did I? Just swinging you in the shoulder. Maybe I can make up for it before I leave.
What do you mean by that?
Just trying to make him behave himself, that's all.
That gun makes you a real big guy.
I'm a big guy without it.
Yeah, as long as I'm in bed, you are.
Peg, will you tell us... Where did she go?
Well, you wanted more coffee, didn't you?
She had coffee right here.
Well, maybe she went to make some fresh.
Maybe she went to do something else, too, like getting on that phone.
Leave her alone.
Oh, no. Peg, what are you doing?
Operator, hurry, please.
Get away from that phone. Hang up, I said.
told you not to do that. Get back in there.
Take your hands off her.
Joe, get back to bed.
I'm going
to
fix this guy right now.
Look, kid, I don't want to blast you again. Keep away. I'm warning you.
Eddie, don't.
Drop that gun, Oakland, and don't turn around.
The FBI.
Ah, you see what I meant, Jack? If he was dumb enough to pull the old railroad gag, then he had to pull the rest of the act, too. Try to hide out at home. All right, Oakland. Come on.
Eddie Oakland and his accomplice were tried for the murder of the warehouse watchman. They were convicted on the charge of first-degree murder. As for Joe Williams, his war trophy, the German Luger, was returned to him, but after it had been rendered harmless by experts of the FBI. And that brings us to the final part of your FBI's message to you returned veterans who have brought back firearm souvenirs from the battlefield. No one wants you to give them up. You earned the right to keep them. Earned it the hard way. But please, for your sake, for the sake of your loved ones, and for the sake of society, have a firearms expert render your gun harmless. Do this now. Do it now without delay, and you can be certain that your souvenir will always remain just that, and never become an instrument of a crime.
Next week, you will hear another thrilling case from the files of the FBI. Before telling you about it, here's a brief but important message from the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States. To the FBI, America looks for national security. And to the Equitable Society, 3.25 million Americans look for the financial security of life insurance. These 3.25 million people comprise the Equitable Society. Because you see, the moment they purchased life insurance through an Equitable Society representative, they became members of this great mutual organization. Remember, like your FBI, the Equitable Life Assurance Society representative in your community is constantly working for the security of you, your home, and your country.
Next week, we will bring you another colorful story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The Cautious Killer.
The incidents used in tonight's Equitable Life Assurance Society's broadcast are taken from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. However, all names used are fictitious, and any similarity thereof to the names of persons living or dead is accidental. Tonight, the music was under the direction of Frederick Steiner, the author was Frank Ferries, and your narrator was Dean Carlton. This is Your FBI is a Jerry Devine production. Now, this is Carl Frank, speaking for the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community, and inviting you to tune in again next week at this same time for This is Your FBI. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. What? You're expecting Mr. Wolf at your place in 3 hours? Your place is where? Yes, Well, I'm expecting Hedy Lamarr in 15 minutes. Yeah, but, mister, we're both out of luck.
Archie, what are you babbling about?
There's a character on the phone who's laboring under the naive delusion that you're about to make a trip upstate.
His name?
Finley, he said.
In that case, he's quite correct.
Yeah, he's quite the, yes, Mr. Finley. Mr. Wolf will be there. Yeah, goodbye.
I shall need some beer, Archie.
The bottle opener's in the right-hand drawer.
Thank you.
What one of us needs is a psychiatrist. You're voluntarily leaving your happy home, exposing yourself to the elements, entrusting your only life to a savage automobile?
I am.
Ho, ho, ho. Somebody's offered you the United States Treasury, huh?
Mr. Finley happens to grow orchids. Among them, he has developed a plant possessing spurred lobelia. I have an opportunity to purchase a couple of the plants, therefore...
I don't believe it.
But, Archie, according to the reports I have received, he has produced a strain of black cypripedium.
Oh, well, in that case. But, Mr. Wolf, while it's true that black may be the color of your true love's hair, it is also true that black is the color of funerals.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the detective genius who rates the knife and fork the greatest tools ever invented by man. The ponderous, brilliant, and unpredictable Nero Wolf, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. The beginning of the case of the Phantom Fingers actually had nothing to do with black orchids. The first act was played in an old house at the end of an old dirt road. It was short and simple. As short as life. And as simple as murder.
Joe, I didn't believe the letters I got. Didn't believe them until now. I've been a lonely man. No wife, children. Joe, it was all coming to you after I died. There was no need for you to steal from me. All you had to do was wait. Joe, that gun. Put it down. No. No.
Archie.
Yes, Mr. Wolf.
How much longer?
Oh, an hour, maybe. Why?
I'm a fool.
Yeah, well, payday's tomorrow. I refuse to agree with you. Besides, the trip's been fine so far, huh? So there's snow on the road, but...
Phooey.
Well, it's nice snow. Pretty soon it'll be spring, and in the spring...
If you mention old Titmouse once more, I shall strangle you.
No, it's against the law. But you know, if that snow melts much faster, the trees won't look so pretty.
Trees? Are they really necessary?
Uh-huh. People cut them down and make paper out of them. And they take the paper and make dollar bills. Mr. Wolf, we're surrounded by future fees.
I prefer the finished product. What on earth is that?
Sounds like a river.
Indeed.
Except there aren't any rivers around here.
Hey!
Yeah?
Up ahead.
What?
Huh?
It's a river. Only it isn't a river.
It's wet.
It's wet and it's got waves on it. Had to start raining, too.
Nature. Phooey.
The road behind us is covered with water. We'll just have to keep going onward and upward.
Would you like to recite Excelsior to me?
Why, sure. Shades of night were falling fast when through an alpine village passed...
An idiot of your caliber, no doubt.
Oh.
An infernal engine has died.
No, the road dips up ahead. And where it dips, there's a junior Mississippi growing up.
Splendid.
Not so splendid. We can't go back and we can't go forward.
Why not?
They didn't build this model to swim.
No foresight. What do we do now?
Well, we could abandon the car and,
Walk, are you mad? Are you seriously suggesting I indulge in a foot race with the flood?
Yeah, well, not seriously, but,
You've decided to give the car a swimming lesson?
No. There's what looks like a cow path leading off the highway. To your right. Maybe it's a road.
We progress. We now follow the footstep of the cow.
Ah, it is a road. An old dirt road. Not only that, it goes up.
Is that good?
Theoretically. We might get above the water that way.
And if the theory fails?
Mr. Wolf, How are you on the Australian crawl? Hey, there's been another car on this road before us. You can see the tire tracks in the mud.
Interesting. An indication that there are other maniacs about. I myself would not have chosen this particular spot to picnic in.
It's not that. There's somebody lying on the road.
People have peculiar habits. Ignore him and drive on.
Uh-uh. Hold on a moment. Mr. Wolf, you better come out here.
My madness has its limits. The answer is no. Serious, Archie?
Very serious.
Oh, very well.
Good
heavens.
Yeah, still alive, but...
The man's been shot. He's mumbling.
Joe.
He's yelling for Joe.
Be still.
Don't forgive stealing.
So much for that. Pick him up, Archie. Put him in the car.
Might be bad for him to be moved.
No. There is nothing that can be bad for him. He's dead. Is this blasted road leading anywhere, Archie?
Well, seems to be a clearing up ahead. Maybe... Hey, it's a house.
Splendid.
I'm not so sure. It's perched up on top of a cliff, surrounded on three sides by nothing. On the side facing us, there's a deep ravine and a small wooden bridge.
An island in the air.
Yeah. High enough to keep above water, maybe, but... Now, that bridge doesn't look too good. Rain may have weakened it.
I have no choice, Archie. I have no intention of being drowned in these barbaric surroundings. The bridge, Archie.
Okay, hold on. Ooh, the thing's collapsing under us.
Our momentum, sir.
Well, if it doesn't, 37 blondes are going to be wearing black. Correction, 38. I forgot the one in Gimble's bargain basement. Hey, we made it. The bridge will never be the same, though. There's a car ahead of us in front of the house.
The car from which our friend, our dead friend, was thrown. Only one set of car tracks in the mud along the road, and here...
And all we have to do is walk in, ask for the owner of the house, and...
Possibly, and possibly not. Archie, go through the corpse's pockets.
Oh, that's not cricket. Yeah, all right. I'm going through. There's not much on him. Handkerchief, silver, driver's license. The name was James Miller. Address Garner Lane, Walden. Now, I've got an idea this is Garner Lane, Mr. Wolf.
In which case, someone named Joe was looking after the house for him, committed theft, and murdered Miller. Miller's body was then dumped on the road in the hopes that the floods would wash the body away. No one at the house seems to have noticed our arrival.
Nope. Well, let's go in and ask for Joe, huh?
Very well. Odd. With the bridge down, there's absolutely no way of getting on or off this bridge.
Except for a mountain goat. I don't know any mountain goats. I used to know a plain goat once, though.
Indeed.
He ran at the Fifth at Jamaica.
Stop mourning.
I never mourned her. Also, I never win bets on horse races. That's why I continue to work for you.
That is also why you had better ring the doorbell.
Okay. Nobody's going to break a leg rushing to open the door.
I suppose you try. I have it more than enough of the weather.
Is that polite? Besides, the killer may have some more bullets in that gun.
Are you afraid?
Sure.
Phooey, the door, Archie.
But old Dr. Tidmouse would say... Well, never mind. Hey, somebody was careless leaving the door open like that. On the other hand, does a spider ever shut its web? The answer is no. Are we flies?
Yes.
Out of my way, Archie.
There are lights up ahead. Must be the living room.
Excuse me.
Sure. You're excused.
Do you live here, sir?
Do we? No, don't you?
Of course not. This is very strange. I came out to see the people who live here. Or the person. I found the door open and no one about. I've been sitting in this corner now for a long time.
Oh, it's a pity no one offered you a plum pie. Then you could have stuck in your thumb.
You saw no one enter, sir?
No one at all. I didn't want to go any further. It would have seemed like prying.
Perhaps you had better come along with us.
Well, all right. You know, this place, it has an evil atmosphere.
It certainly has. What it needs is fresh air.
Phooey. This would be the living room door. A job.
It is. Looks as pretty as a picture. Oh.
Hello.
Well, just think of it. 5 minutes ago, you know, I didn't know you existed. And you didn't know I existed. And now...
Archie, your existence would have a sudden end unless you keep quiet. Excuse us for intruding, Miss...
Intruding? Oh, but I really should ask you to excuse me.
You do not live here?
I wish I did, but... You see, I've been out walking. I live maybe a mile from here, and then when the flood began, I thought I'd come in here and stay for a while.
And you found?
An empty house.
That's not what I found. As old Dr. Tidmouse has often said...
Go through the rest of the house, Archie.
Go through the rest... Yeah, well, never mind. I'll,
What sound?
Somebody's walking. Coming downstairs. I'll go and see.
Hey, you! Come on into the living room. Meet your guests in one of several pieces, as you prefer.
You what? Oh, hiya, folks.
Ah, who's at last?
That's very funny. I think I'll laugh.
May I ask why?
Because this here ain't my dump. I was just casing the joint. I mean, I was just taking a stroll.
Through the house?
I'm eccentric.
Oh, clever. However, I think you'd better stay.
Why?
Because you may turn out to be the owner of this house after all. I rather think introductions are in order.
Well, I'm Peg Shirley.
My name is Wagner.
Joseph Wagner?
Lewis.
How about you, Stroller?
Cregan. Sam Cregan.
Peg, Louis, Sam. Mr. Cregan, while you were strolling upstairs, did you notice anyone else about?
No.
There was no one outside when Archie and I entered. The bridge is down, effectively cutting us off from further visitors. We may assume, therefore, that we are the only people in or about this house.
Yeah, it's cozy, ain't it?
Which further means that one of you three is a murderer.
What are you saying?
The murderer is the person who owns or lives in this house. All three of you denied being that person. Conclusion, one of you is a liar.
Why did I get that?
How dare you? I hardly expected a full immediate confession. However, we are absolutely isolated here. No one is going to come or leave until we have a killer.
You know, you can't really keep us here.
The flood can and will. Remember, the bridge is no longer. So you see, just the five of us alone. No one else inside the house, no one outside. Therefore...
Correction, Mr. Wolf.
Maybe it's a branch or something tapping against the door.
Unlikely. Archie.
Okay, I'll go see who or what it is.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Oh, what?
I got him. Somebody shut the door.
Yeah, all right, I get it.
A disreputable and unwashed gentleman. Head badly hurt. Is he conscious, Archie?
I don't know. He's mumbling something.
Legs pushed off. Velvet leg.
He's passed out. I guess he was trying to say that somebody pushed him out on a ledge, the side of the cliff, maybe. He must have regained consciousness and crawled to the house. Where'll I put him, Mr. Wolf?
Bedroom, I suppose. We'll need first aid. We can't get a doctor. Cregan, where are the bedrooms?
Yeah, one right up at the head of the stairs. And don't ask me how I happen to know.
We shan't, Archie.
Okay. I'll need somebody to help me carry him up without shaking him too badly.
Cregan?
Okay. Let's go.
As for the rest of you, Mr. Wagner, Miss Shirley, I suggest we return to the living room.
But I don't see any reason why we should take orders from you.
One of you is a murderer. I include Mr. Cregan, of course.
Oh, but that poor man wasn't dead.
Not for lack of trying. However, I was not referring to him.
You mean someone else has been killed?
Precisely. That is why I hope we shall not hear another knocking at the door. It could only be a corpse. Archie.
And Cregan.
Yeah.
The injured man?
Still out, probably got a concussion.
Did he say anything further?
Well, he babbled a bit. I don't know if...
We should assume we're among friends, Archie. Exactly what did he say?
Well, he was pushed over the edge of the cliff because he saw Miller killed.
Did he also see who?
No, passed out before he had a chance. He's no tramp, Mr. Wolf. He was bumming his way through the country when he saw the murder.
He must have decided on a touch of blackmail and receiving a concussion instead, which may last for hours or for days.
Somebody's playing with the lights.
Some fool.
Yeah, the switch was over this way. Lights are on again. Whose idea was that?
I had nothing to do with this.
Me neither.
Miss Shirley, why did you scream?
Well, someone brushed against me in the darkness.
You were standing?
Near the table, this table.
Archie?
Nothing on the table except a bunch of keys on a ring.
Something screwy. Why should a guy put the lights out just to deposit a bunch of keys on a table?
Obvious. Without doubt, those are the keys of this house. Possession of them would have disclosed which of you lives here and which of you therefore killed Miller. It's late. I shall sleep down here, lacking an elevator to transport me upstairs.
The elevator's lacking.
Yes, the rest of you should be able to find bedrooms upstairs. Good night.
Good night.
Archie.
Yeah?
Follow them upstairs. Spend the night awake.
Okay.
Good heavens, Archie.
On my way. What's cooking up here?
Somebody's playing with the lights up.
Strike a match.
You don't have to. I got a flashlight.
Here it is. Light switch. You know, this putting out of lights is getting to be somebody's bad habit. Well, all three of you seem to be okay. Stay here.
Where are you going?
Tramp's room, right here at the head of the stairs. Think of all your good deeds while I'm gone. All right, downstairs again.
What again?
Oh, dear.
What happened?
Well, it was more than a bunch of keys this time.
Oh, that knife. There's blood on it.
There should be. I just pulled it out of a man's heart. Well, Mr. Wolf, one of these three babies doused the lights, popped into the tramp's room, deposited the knife in his chest, and popped right out again.
The knife you're holding?
Yeah.
Intelligent of you to wrap a handkerchief around the handle.
Well, whoever killed the tramp didn't have time to fool around with gloves, so...
There should be prints on the knife handle. Satisfactory, Archie.
That's mild enthusiasm.
Archie, on that desk, an ink pad.
Yeah.
Miss Shirley, You carry face powder, of course?
Yes, I do.
Archie will need it to bring out the prints on the knife. He will then fingerprint each of you. Compare your prints with those on the knife. And we shall have a murderer to hand over to the police. Archie, will you begin, please?
Here they are, Mr. Wolf. Three cards labeled with Miss Shirley's name, Cregan's, and Wagner's. Their respective prints are on each card.
Good. I have the knife here. Several quite distinct prints on it. It should be child's play to, Archie.
Yeah?
Take your own prints and mine.
What?
Do as I say, quickly.
Yes, sir. All right, give me your thumb. Thank you. That's it. Now mine. Thank me.
There's something wrong. Something wrong and deadly loose in this house tonight.
Well, there's a card with your prints in mine.
Thank you.
Now you got five cards altogether.
So I have. Archie.
What now?
Take the ink pad and a fresh card with you.
Where am I going with him?
Upstairs.
But, Mr. Wolf, there's nobody upstairs except the corpse.
Precisely. It is his prints I want.
This is so ridiculous.
It's over with.
I'm tired of this.
Archie?
Yeah, I got the dead man's prints.
Will all of you please sit?
All right, but...
Good heavens, young woman. Be careful. We want no accidents.
Sorry, I caught my high heels in the rug.
Archie, the card with the corpse's prints on it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You know, I've had quite enough of this nonsense.
Have you, Mr. Wagner?
Yeah, and so have I, Mr. Wolf. Also, I don't think you know what you're doing.
Perhaps not. However, I have something rather interesting to tell all of you. There is no one in this house besides yourselves, except, of course, for the dead man upstairs. There is no one on the rock on which this house stands except for another dead man in our car.
Look, we already know all that.
Bear with me. We may rule out secret passages, unusual hiding places, or anything of that esoteric and childish nature, we may also rest assured that no one has come to or left this house or rock within the last few hours.
Well, that means we're kind of hermetically sealed here, huh? Meaning also that whoever was here when the tramp was killed is still here. Still here in this room.
Correct, Archie. Now then, I have checked the dead tramp's prints against those on the knife. Theoretically, suicide was possible. However, the prints do not match.
That guy was in no condition to kill himself anyway.
True. And I checked Archie's prints and mine against those on the knife. No similarity.
Oh, but no one suspected either of you.
Thank you, but I had to be thorough. That left only the three of you. I compared your cards and the prints on them with the prints on the handle of the knife.
And?
I want you to remember one thing very clearly. We are the only living people in this house or on this rock of land. No tricks are possible and may be ruled out.
All right, so what?
This. The prints on the handle of the knife that pierced the heart of the man upstairs do not match his prints or the prints of anyone in this room.
Mine wouldn't match.
Would you mind saying that again?
He doesn't have to. And those cards, Mr. Wolf, has the prints of everybody here. And yet none of them match the prints on the knife handle.
But, well, in that case, who or what killed him?
Why, there must be someone else in the house.
I give you my word, there is not.
Hey, you thinking about ghosts or something?
Ghosts never leave fingerprints.
I've got to get away. I can't stand this.
Me too. Come on, lady.
But I'll come along with you, if you don't mind.
Mr. Wolf.
Let them go. The bridge is down. They can't get far.
Okay. I don't get it.
Get what?
Well, the fingerprint business. And who killed Miller, plus the tramp?
The identity of the killer, Archie, is quite obvious.
It is? To who?
To whom?
Who's whom? That's a joke. Yeah, I'm stalling for self-respect. You know?
Of course I do. I have no conclusive proof, however. I had hoped the fingerprints would be of assistance there, but they proved to be phantoms.
I'm still smarting about the other thing. You know, it's at times like this that I almost agree with you about my intelligence.
Lack of intelligence?
Yeah, well, don't rub it in. Just go ahead. Yeah, well, maybe you better rub it in. From now on, you may refer to my brain in the negative.
In the negative? Bless you, Archie.
What I've just done, I don't know, but can I have a raise?
No.
I'll take it back.
You can't. Get the others in at once.
Mr. Wolf, you now have the appearance of Mr. Wolf being surrounded by several dozen bottles of beer. What have I done?
You've explained the fingerprints, Archie. Hurry. I don't want to keep the killer in suspense.
I don't care. No, I'm very nervous. I don't like this.
Archie.
They're all here.
Yes, but they're all making a noise. Stop them.
Miss Shirley, Mr. Cregan, Mr. Wagner, will you please shut... Mr. Wolf, they have.
Thank you, Archie. Now then, I have known for some little time which of you killed the tramp and Miller. I lack proof, however.
And you have it now?
I will admit for a while I was flummoxed by the negative evidence of the fingerprints. They seem to indicate that the tramp was murdered by a phantom. However, the word negative itself has solved the minor problem.
Minor to who?
To whom? Never mind. Shh.
Archie, what is the salient feature of a film negative?
Well, I suppose it's the fact that the darks are light and the lights are dark, huh?
Precisely. A reversal, then, of the actual appearances. Now, are there any similarities between filmed images and fingerprints?
Oh, in a way. You could call the whorls and hollows that determine the individual characteristics of a fingerprint the lights and darks, huh?
You could. I shall. Miss Shirley, yes. Would you help in an experiment?
Well, of course.
Thank you. Archie, I want you to take Miss Shirley's fingerprints once again.
Okay. Pad and card. Here you are, Miss Shirley.
All right.
Archie, quick.
Huh?
Grab her arm.
I got it. Well, usually I don't have to be coached, but...
Let go of me. What are you trying to do?
Miss Shirley, you already had pressed your fingers on the ink pad once. Why were you about to do it a second time?
Well, I just wanted to make a better impression.
Phooey. Archie, wipe some of the ink off her fingers.
Oh, but then it won't be any good.
It'll be very good, Archie.
I've done it.
And take the prints.
No, let go of me.
Maybe. I never hurt women if I can help it, but right now I won't be able to help it. Mr. Wolf wants your prints all over again, so down on the knight's white card.
No!
There, thanks.
Will you let me have that card now, Archie?
Sure.
In the meanwhile, hold on to Miss Shirley.
A pleasure.
Indeed? Would you continue to think so, Archie, if I told you that Miss Shirley's first name is not Peg, but happens to be Josephine, for which the diminutive is Joe?
Glad they're fixing the bridge. I was beginning to think we'd be here forever.
Truly, we have been.
You know, if those black orchids have been holding their breath waiting for you, they're going to be red in the face. Hey, new breed, red orchids, huh?
Archie, must you talk?
Well, it's fun. Also, you've been holding out on me about the case.
I surrender.
Okay. You know, when we compared the new prints of Josephine with those on the knife, you could have knocked me over with a sash weight. They were identical.
Naturally. She stabbed the tramp.
Yeah, but what was the fingerprint gag?
She merely loaded her fingers so heavily with ink that she falsified the markings. She filled up the hollows and walls with ink. The result was that ridges became hollows and vice versa, in the same fashion that a photographic negative falsifies lights and darks.
You got that when I mentioned the word negative. It works, huh?
Try it sometime.
Yeah, the very next bank I robbed. But you said you knew who killed Miller and the tramp even before you exposed the fingerprint gimmick. How?
We knew Miller's murderer lived in this house. Had been stealing from him and so on.
Uh-huh.
Stealing what? Cash, of course. He, as the girl admitted, was an eccentric, kept his money on the property. Cregan had probably heard of it, hence his casing of the house.
Yeah?
Our problem, therefore, was to discover who lived in this house. All three suspects denied it. Josephine Shirley told us, as you may remember, that she'd gone for a walk and then been driven by the flood to this house where we found her.
Well, that's what she said it could have been.
No, because as you may also remember, she tripped at one point over the living room rug and mentioned why.
Sure. Sure, she said she was wearing high heels. Uh-oh, because out in the country there are no pavements, so girls don't go for walk in high-heeled shoes. Therefore, she hadn't gone for a walk. Therefore, she was lying. Therefore, she killed Miller and... I should have noticed those heels myself.
You should have, Archie. Your trouble, I suspect, was that you didn't notice the feet for the legs.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Gerald Moore as Archie Goodwin and G.G. Pearson, Howard McNear, Tim Graham, and Eddie Fields. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Vanishing Shells. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
That's Case Closed for this week. I'll be back next Wednesday with Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, and Rogues Gallery. Until then, you can find more Case Closed at RelicRadio.com. Alongside all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream and our donate button also resides there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make all of this possible. Thanks to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.